this pulpit to be able to proclaim to you guys the word of God. And I don't take it lightly. It's one of the scariest things that I have to do. I'm always worried that I'm trying to inject too much of myself or not give enough to God. But just pray for me this evening. All right. So the text this evening is going to be Jeremiah chapter 8. We're going to look at verse 8 through 9. But before I get there, I have a few things I want to say. Okay, good. My heart is slowed down enough. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. See, God knew that we needed his word written. And he knew that it was very important for us to have written words, something that we can go back to, continuously remind ourselves of the truth, something that we can refer to, something that we can study, review, and apply to our lives. The word of God is integral to us coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The word of God is integral to us having our successful Christian life. The word of God must not be neglected in our life. It's important. It's real important. So important so that God wrote it down and made it plenteous for us to have. 1 Kings chapter 10, we find Solomon is there, and it talked about how amazingly rich Solomon was. Solomon had ivory everywhere, and he covered absolutely everything in gold. As I read through it, I kind of read between the lines, thinking that they probably had to stop him from dipping Rehoboam in gold. If you don't know who that is, that's his son. That's the son they actually took. Took the next spot, but just kidding. Chapter 10 of 1 Kings, we find in verse 14 where it begins to describe the wealth of Israel. And nestled away in verse 27, we find a phrase that I think is pretty important. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 27, "And the king made silver to be in Jerusalem as stones." It's kind of weird, isn't it? The king made silver in Jerusalem as stones. The king made silver to be in Jerusalem as stones. There was so much abundance that things that had real value were overlooked, discarded, made inconsequential because of how plenteous it was. Here's the problem that we have in our culture today. The word of God is so plenteous and so available, and because of that, we take it for granted. It touched my heart hearing the story from the man in North Korea who sat in his living room reading the Bible, though knowing that he could die for it, and all the things that happened around him, and God still protected him. I can download an app and have the full Bible at my fingertips in just a few seconds. I can go to a website and read the whole Bible anytime I would choose. I have access to commentaries from great men of God for years and years past. I have access to podcasts, live streams, books, most of which are free. I can go to the dollar store right now and pay $1.06 and get a new Bible. The availability of the Word of God in our culture has made us treat it like it's pebbles left on the ground. We can't do that. We have a rich country that God has continuously blessed because of that stand for the truth in His Word. But sadly, day by day, week by week, our culture is walking away from that truth, the Word. We are rebelling, and we are rejecting the Word of God. And the way our culture is heading, we are refusing to repent. In Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 8 through 9, where are we going to be? Jeremiah is speaking to the religious leaders of Judah. He declares to them that they are missing the mark. In verse 7, we'll read verse 7 first. It says, "Yea, the storks in the heavens knoweth his appointed time, and the turtles and the cranes and the swallows observe the time of their coming." But my people know not the judgment of the Lord. Meaning that all the creatures see that the times and seasons are changing. And because of that, they submit to the Lord and they move to warmer climates, as they're built to do. But God's people don't see the coming judgment. This might seem a little bit off base, but you know, I really enjoy Cold Stone. It's time for the food. I do, I like it, it's real good. We had to slow down a little bit, but my wife and I, we really do enjoy Cold Stone. You know, right by the Cold Stone, there was this building that was being put up, and it was said Rosie's Game Emporium. Now, as I saw that being built up for months and months and months, I was excited. I was like, yeah, this is gonna be like a fun quest thing. You know, they're gonna have some bowling and some laser tag and something fun. We went to Cold Stone, and we saw Rosie's was done. And so before we walked up to the Cold Stone, we looked left. I said, hey, let's go walk up to it. And as we got about 15 feet away from Rosie's, I could tell that that was a slot machine. I've been to Vegas. I've seen what they look like. You know, as I saw that darkly lit room with the neon lights flickering, built to keep the poor people poor, built to grab people and hold them in, to rip away the money that really probably should go to the church or go towards something good, keep them in bondage. I got a little outraged. I got a little upset because that was in my city. That's in the place that I live. That's in my Jerusalem. And the people that I need to reach out to, the people I need to talk to, now I have to combat that as well. And I had no clue. Shame on me. One of our teens told us that he was telling his mother and grandmother not to go over there. He said they had been a few times. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord. I don't know if you looked at Rosie's. I don't know if you even knew what Rosie's was before you got here. That is the judgment of the Lord on us. How do we miss the coming judgment? Well, let me show you. Verse 8 through 9. The Bible says, how do ye say we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, certainly in vain made he it, and the pen of the scribes is in vain. The wise men are ashamed, and they are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them? My proposition to you this evening is, don't neglect the word of God, so you will see the truth clearly in 2020. Father, I need you. And Lord, I just need you to speak through me, Lord. I need you to preach this word, Father, that it might clearly be given to your people this evening. Father, touch our hearts, Father, that we might not walk out of these doors the same way we walked in, Lord. Convict us and challenge us and try us, Lord, this evening. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. First, notice with me the rebellious. We see, we find the rebellious leaders who call themselves wise. Verse 8 starts with, how do you say we are wise? Now, I love the teens. It's often a struggle and a battle to get them involved and committed, but it's a wonderful ministry, and it's great to have the opportunity to work with them. But from time to time, we get the opportunity to talk to them about the things that are going on in their lives, some of the choices that they make. Many times, they will listen to my wife and myself. They'll indulge us while we're sitting in the van or while we're in the class. But their actions say they take things, or they don't, their actions say that they take a different way. Usually from what they do, you can tell that they're saying, I know what's best for me. I know what I'm doing. I got this. You don't know what you're talking about. That's one you might even hear from the lips. All of that is really to say that they understand the world in a deeper way because they have YouTube. That was supposed to be a joke. Okay, that's fine. It's still good. It was a good joke. You guys just missed it. So that means that they know everything, but it's not true. But you know what the problem is? It's not just the fact that the teenagers say that and they follow after that, but the adults also say that as well. We skip service. We refuse to serve in the ministries that the Lord's called us to serve in. We will even tell that I know what is best in our actions. See, the religious leaders said, I know what's best. I got this. I know what's in the Bible. I know what's there. So this is how we're going to do it. Against what the Word of God was saying, the animals knew and could tell as the world was changing what they needed to do. And we have the Word of God to show us what we should do as well. 2 Timothy chapter 2, or not what we should do, but what is actually going on. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 2 says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce deceivers, fierce despisers of those that are good. I don't know if you've looked at this list and then turned on the TV and watched the news for about 5 or 10 minutes. You know, there is a whole movement of men that dress themselves up as women, that want to dress themselves up as women and read books to our children. I mean, that's the world that we're living in. That's what's going on out there. You know, the Word of God makes clear where wisdom really comes from. And let me tell you, God knows best for us. God knows best for us. His Word tells us clearly what is best for us. And in His Word, He teaches us what is best. The religious leaders, having the teaching of the Word, counted themselves wise. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 through 20, it says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. I think that's easily to see when we turn on the news as well. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7 through 8 says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Do what God says, not what you say. We need the Word to show us what is right, how we should live, what we should do, what is really best for us. How are you doing with that, Christian? Are you wise in your own eyes? Can you say you are doing everything? Can you say you got this? If you can say that you're following what the Lord would have you to do, glory to God and good on you. But if you're like me and far from perfect, the question we need to answer in ourselves is, are we going to go into 2020 and continue doing it our own way? See, this is an opportunity for us to change. Say, beginning. People do the best with change in the beginning. They tell you to start on the first day of the week. They tell you to start that next morning. Tomorrow is the next morning. Tomorrow is the first day. Tomorrow is the first time you can step up and say, I'm going to follow after what the Lord has told me to do. Continue. Do not continue to neglect the Word of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 7, verse 18, For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. I know that I can't trust myself, and I would encourage you guys to be sure that you can't trust yourself as well. We need the Word of God, and we need to follow after what God has said. Submit to God. If we depend on what we think, we will be marching ourselves and our families straight to hell, as we see clearly. It says the wages of sin is death. If His Word is good enough to save us, then it's also good enough to live by. First, we see the rebellious call themselves wise, but also we see the rebellious claim the Word. Verse 8 of Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 8, it says, how do you say we are wise? And the law of the Lord is with us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. See, Jesus made regular mention of the Pharisees and scribes for that reason. They knew what God said, but it was not in their heart. They looked good, but were white as sepulchers on the inside, dead and separated from God completely, numb to God and numb to his word, which we can see in that they crucified my Lord. Their central focus was on looking good, and they were successful in that. Matthew chapter 23, verse 5 says, but all their works they do to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. A phylactery, I'm not sure if you guys know this, it's a small box, a small wooden box that they would place on their forehead and they would put on the outside of their arms. And they were warned during morning prayer to remind them to keep the law. And oh yes, they had the word, but the word was not in them. Similar to a person that carries a Bible just to be seen on Sunday, but has not cracked that Bible since the Sunday before, or any Bible. Refuses to open up the word of God. Refuses to listen to something that would encourage them towards the Lord, the Lord God. Refuses to listen to a sermon. Refuses to sing and praise the Lord in the morning. Look. We need to praise the Lord. We need to follow after the Lord, and we need to wrap our lives in the Lord, because that is the only way we will stay focused on what he would have us to do. And all of that begins with his word. Keeping his word is important in your life. Not neglecting it, not turning away from it, not taking the time that you're supposed to spend with the Lord and crumpling up and throwing away. 5-minute prayer, I'm good. I read through half a verse. I should be all right for a week. It needs to be important enough to us that we set time aside specifically for it, read the word, study the word, and then apply his word. The rebellious called themselves wise. They claimed the word and said, we're all right. The rebellious also were certainly taken in wickedness. Lo, verse 8, lo, certainly in vain made he it. The pen of the scribes is in vain. Now the scribe's job was to write the word of God. Barak, which was Jeremiah's scribe, wrote the word, the Bible says, wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord. You can find that in Jeremiah 36. A scribe can copy a Bible, and one source that I found actually said that they could copy a whole Bible in 15 months. Now look, that's a little bit more than I could do. In verse 8, Jeremiah is saying that all of your time looking at the Bible, copying the word, has done nothing for you. See, it's more than just reading it. It's more than just kind of perusing through it, but it's about meditating on it. It's about chewing it up and really understanding what is there and then applying that to our lives. Matthew Henry said this, and I thought this was very, very good. Matthew Henry said about this section, surely never any people had Bibles to so little purpose as they have, speaking of the scribes. They might as well have been without the law, unless they had made a better use of it. God has indeed made it able to make men wise to salvation, but as to them, it is made so in vain, for they are never the wiser for it. You think, how can you be writing the Bible and copying it down and it have no effect on you? Well, the answer to that is really easy. The same way that we can come week after week and sit and listen to the preaching of God's word and then walk out of the door running back to the world, running back to the old man, running back to the things that we desire over the things that God has proclaimed for us to leave. See, it's real easy for us to look at someone and say, oh man, if you're copying them, you see the words, but if you don't read them, you don't meditate on them, you don't think about them, you don't apply them to your life, it's just as wasteful as if you never wrote them or never saw them at all. What choice are you going to make in 2020 with the Word of God? What choice are you going to make in 2020 with the Word of God? Notice first with me the wickedness of pride. Now the scribes copy, the scribes copying of the word was a waste. The time spent with God's word was a waste. They refused to allow the word to change them. The question is, are you going to refuse to allow the word to change you? Next, their wickedness and blasphemy. With all the goodness of God's word, they made the truth of none effect in their life. There was no difference in their heart. There was no change in them. The word of God, though more precious than the finest of golds or the rarest of stones, was pebbles under their feet. Christian, I can't help but to ask tonight, are you going to treat the word of God that way in your life? Also, see their blindness. I spoke with a teen a month or two ago. Me and Pastor Tim went out on a Thursday night, and we stood on that young man's front door, and we preached our heart out, you know, told him exactly his need for a Savior, that he was on his way to hell. And the question that he asked me was not, how do I be saved, but it was, why would God put the tree in the garden anyway? Now, that's a good question. It has some very good answers, and there's some deeper things that we can understand about God. But when I tell the man that he was a young man, he was going to hell, he was more concerned with why the tree was there. His reply to me, and the way that the rest of the conversation went, indicated to me that he had not accepted Jesus Christ and was not going to accept Jesus Christ. You know, at this point right now, I believe that that young man is on his way to hell because he refused the word. He rejected. He stayed willingly blind. You know, the Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes did the same thing to Jesus. John chapter 9 is one of my favorite sections of scripture. It's where the blind man was healed and he went back and he went to the priest and they asked, who did this? He's like, I don't know, because he couldn't see him anyway. It's ridiculous. When he came back to Jesus and Jesus asked him if he would believe in me, and he did, Jesus said to the Pharisees, and I thought this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. John chapter 9 verse 41 says, Jesus said unto them, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remains. Meaning that we have to be in need. We have to be in a position where we understand that we need a Savior. And they refused to be there, and so they remained blind, refusing to see the Son of God in front of them. The Word opens that up. The Word of God shows us our need for a Savior. And the scribes, though they saw the prophets and they saw the spiritual leaders' words, they rejected them. They were blind, but thought that they could see. They refused to be in need of the truth of the word in their hearts. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means every one of us are in need. Every one of us has a need for a Savior. Every one of us, if we had not accepted Jesus Christ, would be on our way to hell. Every person that we interact with at work has to make that same decision. The people we walk by in Walmart have to make the same decision as well. The Bible teaches that there's a price for sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death. There is a penalty. There is a price for our sin. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, but God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The end of verse 23 of chapter 6 and verse 5, 8 both tell us that the price was paid by Jesus Christ. Amen. Romans chapter 10, verse 13, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is what the Bible says. It's not my words. It's God's word. And he made it clear for us so that we can make the choice to follow him or not. And we have to give others the opportunity as well. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, it says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I believe that most of the people in here have made a profession of faith, but if you're not sure tonight, be sure. Come see us. I don't care if you've been here for 30 years. I don't care if you've been here for 5 minutes. We want you to be sure that you're going to heaven. We want you to be sure that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know that Jesus Christ is your Savior. Their blindness kept them from where they should have been. Don't let blindness keep you from that. First, we saw that there was a rejection of the Word of God by the scribes who were tasked with writing down the Word of God. And we also see that there was, rebellion. There was a rebellion, and there's also a rejection. In verse 9, I'll read it one more time. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them? First, the wise men are ashamed. A good friend of mine, Spencer Close, has said to me multiple times, with internet access on our phones, commentaries, great preaching, countless books and podcasts, and all this information that we have about the Word of God today, I hate to imagine how much more God will hold us accountable. That brings a little bit of shame over me, because there are so many more ways that I could learn more about the Word of God, so many more ways that I can learn about God, and most of them are free. The Bible says that in Luke chapter 12, verse 48, "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him much be required." Choose today to take advantage of the tools that have been provided for you. And if you need help in a definitive point, if you need help being pointed into the right direction, come talk to us, and we will definitely point you towards the right direction. See, the wise men were ashamed because they hadn't used the Word of God as they should, but the wise men also were dismayed and taken. You know, on Wednesday nights, my wife and I, we drive the van, and a few months ago, the younger kids were working on Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, and that verse was repeated multiple times, because what we do is when we're driving with them on Wednesday nights, we ask them, "What did you learn at church?" We have a whole game, and they enjoy it, and I enjoy it too. And we heard Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 over and over again. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." See, the wise men were dismayed because they kept falling into ruin. We need to lay aside those weights, Christians. Ask the Lord to bring deliverance. Ask our pastor for guidance. If you need a counselor, ask him for help with that as well. God loves you and sent his son to free you from the bondage of sin. There is no desire in God's heart for you to be bound to a sin, addiction, anything that's going to keep you away from focusing on him as number one. And he will show you the way if you want him to show you the way. Also, the pastor loves you, and his heart's desire is to see you walk with the Lord. And I promise you, he will do everything in his power to help you to do that. Run the race that is set before you. And if you stumble and if you fall, get up, pick up the baton, and keep going as the Lord has called us to do. The wise men were ashamed, dismayed, and taken. And lastly, they rejected the word of the Lord. See, they knew the truth and turned from it. They took the word of God and treated the truth as worthless. I pray, Christian, that this is not you this evening. But if it is, I pray that you would also turn around. Once again, Spencer sings this song that we all have heard and we all love called "Playing Games, Playing Games." And the words of it go this way. "You've heard the story many times before, how the soldiers gambled for the robe of the Lord, their laughter drowning out the Savior's cry. Father, forgive them," as he bowed his head and dies. And they were playing games at the foot of the cross. So close to his struggle, yet so far from the cost. Never feeling the shame, never sensing the loss. They were playing games at the foot of the cross. 2020 is an excellent opportunity to stop playing games at the foot of the cross and commit to the Lord. Really allow him to do through you what he would have to do. Everything I've said is bad. We talked about the rebellion of the religious leaders. We talked about the rejection. But I want to tell you that we can repent. We can be renewed. We can turn away from treating the Word of God as if it's something to be neglected. We can have the Word of God be the lens by which we see 2020 and 2020. There is hope. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Remember first, who is the author of his word? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And all means all, and that's all that it means. God wrote it all. God wrote it all for you. God has provided it for you, and God has put it where you can reach it. Reach out and take it. Remember who is the authority of his word. The word is God written and given authority by God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God has placed the authority of the Word of God over those things. Remember who is the authorizer of the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 says, for the prophecies came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. His word is powerful because God ordained it to be powerful. And for that reason alone, we should listen to it. We have liberty to read. We have liberty to study. We have liberty to preach the word. The liberty we have with the word is for us to be a blessing to others, but we cannot do that if we are rebelling against God's word, nor if we're rejecting the principles and precepts and doctrines of his word. We must repent. We must repent. Christian, time is really running short. There are literal lives at stake. We must look at the shortcomings of 2019 and choose to turn from them. We must turn back to God and to his word. We need the word of God to be the lens by which we can have 2020 vision in 2020. Will you make that choice tonight? As I close my Bible, I remind you once again of that man in North Korea who sat in his living room reading his Bible that was against the law and he could have been killed for. Will you make the choice tonight?